Well, the UK Independence Party says it's decided not to join forces with either of the two existing no campaigns for that referendum. The party's leader, Nigel Farage, will launch UKIP's own campaign later this week. We can talk now to the UKIP MP, Douglas Carswell, who's in Westminster for us this morning, this afternoon. A very good afternoon to you, Mr. Carswell. We'll talk about your party's no campaign in just a moment. But first, your reaction, please, to that recommendation from the Electoral Commission about changing the wording of the referendum question. Is it the right thing for you?
It's the right thing. Well done to the Electoral Commission and well done to the Prime Minister for making the right choice. I think it's important that the referendum is free and fair and seen to be fair, and I think it's the right choice.
And you think the nuance of changing those few words is significant?
It's important. I think we need to make sure that, you know, this is a once-in-a-generation opportunity. We need to get it right. And well done for the Electoral Commission for what they've decided, and well done to 10 Downing Street for making the right decision. I think it's good.
Do you think then that dealing with this in Parliament, which returns of course from the summer break next week, is that just going to be a formality?
I think so. The real issue though is the issue of so-called purdah. This is basically, can the machinery of government, can all the bureaucracy in Whitehall be lined up to push people to vote to stay in the European Union? And I think that's where there's going to be a few sparks flying in the weeks ahead. But I think the government has to see sense on that. It's got to be free and fair, and I think the government has got to back down and make sure that the normal rules of purdah apply in this referendum, like with all other referendums. And I think that's a battle that we can win too.
On UKIP's own campaign then, do you think it's right at this stage to be very bluntly stating we will not join with the other two campaigns at the moment?
No, I think we've got to remember that in order to win, we need 50% plus one. That means that, think of the campaign not as a political party-run organisation, but as a tapestry. We're going to be part of that tapestry, but so too, I suspect, will large parts of Jeremy Corbyn's Labour Party. So too will be many of my former colleagues in the Conservative Party. So too will be lots of people who, frankly, aren't that interested in politics at all. We need to build a coalition, and that means that parties like mine allow other people to come in and we create the space for a united broad coalition. And I think UKIP is doing that. UKIP is part of it. We're doing what we can deliver, which are leaflets and supporters on the ground, but we're making the space for others to come forward and ensure that this is a broad-based campaign.
Is there not a danger, though, that coalition, that tapestry you talk of, can create the impression of splits rather than having a single unified campaign?
Well, only if it's the week before Parliament and you've got nothing else to analyse, but with respect, I think you're being a little over-analytical here. We have a role to play, and we're playing it. The Electoral Commission made the right choice today over the wording. I'm confident they'll make the right choice over official designation. Once they've officially designated a campaign as the official campaign, we'll be 100% supportive of that and doing our part to make sure that the overall no campaign, of which we're only a part, is successful.
Looking at the migrant crisis more widely, we just heard from Yvette Cooper, the Labour leadership candidate, of course, saying that Britain should take more refugees fleeing war in Syria. Your party leader, Nigel Farage, says that as well, and that the number should be a few thousand. Do you see any merit in the arguments being made by Angela Merkel about a fairer distribution of migrants and refugees right across the EU?
I'm afraid I don't. Once again, the EU, by Europeanising policy, is passing the buck, or in this case, the migrant quota. What I do think we need to recognise is that Yvette Cooper might be onto something. Look, you know, I want us to have an immigration policy based on skills that allows us to decide annually in Parliament how many genuine refugees we should allow in. And if we had that system, of course, we'd need to be outside the European Union to have it. We could then have real debates in the House of Commons where people like me could argue that actually there are minorities in Syria that actually we should be giving asylum to. And I think we could find common ground on that. We're never going to be able to have that mature, sensible debate if we don't control democratically our own immigration policy. If you look at countries like Australia, where incidentally there haven't been any illegal boats landing for over a year now, Australia is able to decide democratically how many refugees and asylum seekers they allow in. And that's what we need to do in this country
too. So how many is a few thousand for you?
I know that Yvette Cooper's started off bidding at 10,000. I think there's a strong argument for saying a few thousand. I would like to know how many minority groups in Syria there are, how many we could realistically accommodate, and I think what pressure it might bring on public services and how we could manage. But I think there's a strong case to be made, as Yvette Cooper recognises, for allowing us to do more. But that we've got to remember, last year 636,000 people came into this country. Only 12,000 people were political asylum seekers. This is a sideshow. The real issue is those 800,000 people allowed into Germany who, once they get their official papers, are allowed to come into this country like 500 million other Europeans. That's the issue we need to address, not the sideshow of genuine asylum seekers who we should be supporting.
Okay, Douglas Carswell, thank you very much. You.